to We Watch Movies.
I'm Ava.
And I'm Jenna.
And we watch movies. So this week we watched Nightmare Alley, which is currently one of the Best Picture nominees. Woo woo, Oscar season. I won't shut up about it. Not even if you ask me to, so don't ask me to. And basically, so this movie is about a circus. It's about a guy who was part of a circus and he learned to be a mentalist, and then he went and did kind of like Vegas shows, but I think this was like before the time of Vegas. So you know, he goes and he does all these shows, and then these people were like, hey, why don't you tell us about these ghosts? And he was like, I can't really do that, but sure. And then he started scamming people, and then all this stuff goes down. And then, yeah, it's directed by Guillermo del Toro. Not Guillermo, I'm sorry. Guillermo del Toro. And it's starring Bradley Cooper, Cate Blanchett, Rooney Mara, Toni Collette, Willem Dafoe was in there for a hot minute. So we're going to talk about it. Jenna, tell me, what were your initial reactions?
I enjoyed this movie. Going into it, I wasn't too sure what to expect. But I really enjoyed it. I like movies where you got morally gray people. I liked the whole aesthetic. It had a lot going for it, and I think it did a lot of it well. And I really loved like the production value of this movie. That was probably my favorite part of it. Just the whole time, I didn't want to look away because it was so detailed and everything just looked so amazing. And like, even like the story, like I hate stories where like, you know, the main character, like they're up to no good, and like you can see their actions, like you know they're going to catch up to them at some point. Like, I hate that. Like, I hate watching it the whole time being like, oh, well, this is just gonna go really badly and I'm stuck watching it. But even then, I was really interested and where the storyline was going. I guessed the ending, but that's okay, because
I did
it
too.
Made looking at the build-up really interesting.
I agree. I'm obsessed with the aesthetic. I thought that the production design was beautiful. The funhouse, so that was, like, the coolest, one of the coolest, like, set pieces and things that I've seen in a long time. And, you know, I was adding to our little, like, running Oscar predictions thing, because another thing that this movie got nominated for was production design, which absolutely freaking deserved. And I'm, like, going back and forth, again, with West Side Story and this one, because it's between, like, the salt shed for the rumble versus, like, the funhouse. And the funhouse is really cool. That devil face was really cool. And I'm obsessed with the old carnival aesthetic, so I think that was really awesome. I wish we got a little bit more of it, because I didn't realize that it wasn't going to be in the carnival the whole time.
Yeah, but that was kind of disappointing.
But even when it wasn't in the carnival, it did have some really nice visuals everywhere. So it's not like the place that they moved to was like ugly or anything, but like, I don't know, the carnival was really cool. And I also guessed the ending, but not until, like, almost the end. It wasn't until, I didn't guess the ending until, by the way, spoilers, because we're going to eventually talk about the ending. I didn't guess the ending until he was hiding in the chicken train cart. And I was like, okay, I know where this is going. I know what's going to happen. And I was really excited about it. I was just waiting. I was waiting for that shoe to drop. I was like, okay. But I don't know why he reacted the way that he did at the end. I mean, I get that he was drunk. But, like, he knows what happens. So I don't get why he, like,
you mean, like,
was
the hysterical
excited.
Laughter?
Yeah.
Well, what I was thinking of in that moment was her name Lillian, the psychiatrist?
Lilith?
Okay.
Yeah.
It was one of them. I also was blanking on who played her, so I couldn't even do that.
Cate Blanchett?
Yes, her. You see, I do know.
Oh wait, 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 wait. The psychologist or the girl from way earlier in the beginning of the movie?
Not Xena.
Okay, not Xena. Yeah, so the psychologist, the therapist person?
Yeah.
Okay, okay. You can continue.
Yeah, I was thinking in that moment of her, like, they had their little, like, not therapy showdown, but I guess that's the word I'm gonna use, where he kept, like, bringing up parts of his past, and he was like, well, I'll never be like my father, I'll never be like him, and she's like, oh, there's that word again, never, we're gonna have to work on that. So I was just kind of thinking of that whole exchange and how they kept bringing up his father, different father figures, and what happened to them, and who they became, and how staunchly against that, like, cycle he was. So then at the end, he realizes that he could never break away from it because that was always what he gravitated to. Like, that's what he was born to be.
Mm. That makes sense. I was just, like, I was thinking in, like, the real world, probably if I knew what happened to the geek and I knew the entire way that they pick up the geeks and somebody was like, you want to be the geek? I'd be like, no. No, thank you.
I mean, I get the economy's bad, but maybe I can get another job.
I see your tricks. Why don't I just, like, scoop up the horse poop or something? I'll do that. Like, I just keep me out of the geek pit.
I also find the ending really interesting because he was someone who, he understood all, like, the smoke and mirrors at the height of his career when he was doing best. Like, he understood the industry, he knew all the tricks, but then by the end of it, he's the one falling for them again anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely thought that, I was really satisfied, because I was like, okay, yeah, no, he kind of deserves it. I was really annoyed at him, because he kept, like, he would do something that, like, at the beginning I liked him. Yeah. And then he turned into an ick boy, you know? And he was like, mm-hmm. The fame went to his head or whatever. That happens, like, with every character like this. And then he, like, cheated on his girlfriend, which happens to, like, every character like this. So it was a little bit expected of him, but I was kind of rooting against it. But, like, also, I don't know. It kind of gave me... He gave me P.T. Barnum vibes a little bit, but just with, like, more darkness.
Yeah. Yeah, the story was a little contrived in that way, and I can't really tell how much of, like, my dislike of it was purely just the story elements being what just a general thing I dislike in movies like this, or if it was the movie itself. That aspect I didn't like, they're kind of connected for me.
Oh, so you, like, didn't like this movie?
No, I did enjoy this movie. It's just, I strongly dislike watching movies where the main character has a descent, like, stands.
Mm.
I feel like it's done so much, and I know that, like, logically, there's a good reason for it to be in this movie, but at the same time, how many times am I gonna watch this?
I don't know. I thought that it worked kind of to, like, cause the whole thing, I, like you said, the whole thing was like he wasn't gonna escape that life, and, like, it was like, oh yeah, carnies don't get out. They're carnies for life kind of thing. And, like, he kept getting too ambitious, and that was, like, not good enough that was not for his own good. That goes all the way back to Icarus. He girl boss too close to the sun, you know what I mean?
Yes, yes, I do, Ava.
I wonder, I feel like Molly probably ended up going back to the circus, too. Because she was still friends with all of them. She probably just went back.
Yeah.
So not even she got out.
Yeah, and Xena, she was still with all of them, even though Pete died.
Hmm. Yeah, and then who was, what, Bruno, or whatever his face was, the big guy? who was like Molly's
caretaker?
Patriarch, or I guess, yeah. Yeah, he was still with them too, so Molly probably just went back to him. I'm not entirely sure what the relationship was there, but like, I don't know. I feel like that's kind of like the whole, like, they weren't able to escape. What? They said Nightmare Alley once as like a thing. What was Nightmare Alley? Do we remember, like, in the movie what it was?
I can't fully remember. I feel like part of it was the fact that, like, alley is, like, a carnival term. So I feel like they were referencing the different, like, horrors and spook shows they had along this carnival alley. So it was called Nightmare Alley. But I don't remember if that's what they used it in that context.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember, because I remember thinking about it, and I was like, oh, that's cool. But also, that was when I watched the first half of the movie, and then I took, like, a break. Then I watched the second half today. So that was, like, a little while ago. So I'm not entirely sure what it was. I do recall him with, like, Willem Dafoe's character in an alley once, when they were, like, dealing with the old geek. Maybe that was when it happened? I don't know.
Yeah, I really can't remember where the exact quote was.
I did like Willem Dafoe in this movie. I didn't like his character, like, as a person, but I liked his character as a character, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I thought it was effective. And it was, they did a really, I thought that they did a good job of setting up the very end in the very beginning that way. You know what I mean?
I agree.
You know, he was very skeevy, and that was good, because that's what he needed to be.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I feel like every character, for the most part, was appropriately schemey. I mean, except for maybe, like, Molly, but that wasn't really her character. And that's something I really enjoyed. How, I mean, for the most part, most of the major players in this movie, you really can't like them, because none of them are particularly good people. But at the same time, you want to see what their next scheme is.
Yeah, and like, I don't know, I thought it was just, okay, so I don't know where I'm going with this, man. I had a thought and it kind of left. But no, I liked Molly. I was rooting for her the whole time. I was kind of rooting for her when she first left. But then she went back to him and I was like, ugh, Molly, you don't need to do this for him. But also, I did want to see how the manifestation thing was going to go over. And as predicted, it did not go very well. Anyways, I hope Molly is somewhere happy. And I hope that Lilith got her comeuppance somehow, but she bothered me too. I don't know. She icked me out too, but just because she's a bad person.
You know, I did not like her either. Like, again, like, I didn't like anyone in this movie. I mean, except for Molly. But even then, like, she could have done so much better than Stan. Like, it was really
Molly's
disappointing because I really liked him in the beginning of this movie.
Me too!
Like, I mean, I was like, realistically, he's probably not a good person, and he's probably done shady things. However, this is a carnival. It's, like, the 1930s. Okay. But then, like, they did that switch from the carnival to, like, the 2 years later when he has his own solo act, and he had a mustache, and I was like, oh, it's all over for you, Stan.
Yeah, I thought that I really liked him in the beginning, and then it just, you know, his character was kind of like my experience of House of Gucci, you know? I really liked it in the beginning. And then it just, phew.
Yeah, it's, I mean, there is a case for unlikable characters and plots like this. They're not always my favorite, so sometimes it's just hard for me because I'm sitting there and I'm like, ooh, I could see how all of this is gonna go downhill so quickly, and boy, I don't want to watch that. But also, this movie, I didn't want to turn it off either. So I think it had a really good balance of, oh, I hate everything that's going on right now, but also, I'm gonna keep watching it.
Oh yeah, no, I thought that his character being bad worked. Like, when I say that I didn't like him, it doesn't mean that I didn't enjoy watching him as a character. So I thought as a character, it functioned in the story, and I liked the story. I liked watching this because, so, it bothers me sometimes, and we've dealt with this idea multiple times before, and I've probably talked about this multiple times before, but I don't like it when movies, like, try to be too artsy and then they get boring or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
This movie was, it was really, I mean, it was really pretty, but like in terms of the story, it was like a story. You know what I mean? Like, it didn't try to shove in like some big universal truth into it or anything. That wasn't like working for it. Like, I mean, they did have like the themes of like the never ending cycle and everything. But like they didn't try to like make you reconsider your own life or anything. Because I feel like if they tried to do any of that, it would have muddied up the story and I wouldn't have liked it as much. But it was literally just like it was just like a story, which I really liked. And I really was like, I was captured by this movie like the whole time I was watching it. Which I thought was really great. And I thought that the story had like a direction that it was going in. And I know that you may not have liked the direction, but I liked the direction because I wanted to see him get smacked by life. Because he was annoying at the end. And I thought it was like, I don't know, it was just a good little booyah moment at the end. I really liked it. I liked the story a lot. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely liked when he got his comeuppance, but at the same time, I was like, oh, well, you know, I wouldn't have minded his comeuppance ending with him just being arrested. Like, the geek stuff was kind of terrifying to think about, just given just the implications of that message.
But that's the point!
I get that that's the point, but like, I can still not like it, Ava.
You wanted him to just get arrested at the end?
Well, I think that too also would have been interesting. I mean, not as interesting as geek stuff, but
exactly.
Like, of all the things that could happen to him, it's the most normal thing. It's a trap he can't escape out of. He can't use any of his tips and tricks he's learned throughout the years. Just over in an instant, like, all the lights are turned on him.
Ugh, I would have been so bored by that, though. I really liked that he came in and he tried to, he was a player. He played people, and then he comes into this employer's office and he's like, hey, give me a job. I'm good at this, blah, blah, blah. I can do this, blah, blah. And he tried to like get his foot in the door again so he could continue to play people. And instead he got played and then he got sentenced to a fate worse than death. And I mean, maybe he didn't deserve a fate worse than death, but it was satisfying. It was a satisfying ending, and you cannot tell me that it wasn't.
Oh yeah, no, it was satisfying in that it came full circle. But, you know, I just really don't like having to watch the main character make decisions that are so obvious to the audience that they're going to end badly, because then I just have to sit there and stew with, oh man, how bad is this gonna get? Just, it's not my idea of a good time, even if thematically that stuff is juicy.
I'm just really glad that they brought the geek stuff back, man. And I really hope that's why they put him hiding in a chicken cart, too. Because I picked up on that, if that was purposeful. If it wasn't, that's really sad.
I mean, I have a feeling it was purposeful.
It better have been purposeful. If not, then why do you have a random chicken cart in your movie, guys? But like, okay.
Maybe they just like chicken carts.
Maybe they just like chicken carts. But yeah, I don't know. I really liked this movie. I was not bored ever. Which I can say some of the like critically acclaimed movies we've watched have left me a little bored at times. And so I will say, I think that this is like, I also haven't seen a good chunk of the Best Picture nominees yet either. Like, there's still a decent few that I have to get through. But this is probably my second pick right now, you know, because I thought it was just really fun to watch. And I'm sorry, I'm a sucker for carnival stuff and like mentalist stuff. I love it. It's so good. Magicians, I'm done.
Yeah, I am a sucker for that too, and it had the cat and mouse aspect to it as well, between Lilith, that's her name, right?
Yes.
Okay, I got it. Between Lilith and Stan, I also really loved that element, because neither of them are good people at all, and they're using each other, and you know it's not going to end well for either of them, but watching them try to outplay the other in subtle ways was fantastic.
I really wanted her to die. I mean, I thought that in that last fight, maybe he should have killed her, and then they burst into the room, and then he runs out. Because I don't think she should have won. It bothers me that she won and he didn't. I think they both should have lost.
Yeah, I wish there was a little more closure with her. And, like, something happening to her, because I feel like this is a movie where none of the characters you know can win. I feel like that messes with the cyclical nature of it too much.
Yeah, and I mean, it's not like she came from being a loser or anything, but I think she should have died. yeah, there was not enough murder in this movie, as you can tell. Oh my god, but speaking of murder, the way that he killed his father, that scene, oh my gosh, it gave me chills. Pun intended.
Oh my god. Okay.
But it was so good, Jenna.
No, I agree, it was very good, and I was really interested to see where that was going. Because they kept bringing it up, and I was like, I mean, I can guess what's going on, but I it was done really well.
Yes, I was very, I was very pleased. I very much liked it. I thought that he did a very good job. And, wait. I think I just glitched.
Oh?
I'm sorry, I clicked on the, I was looking at the overview for the movie, and I clicked on, the director, because I wanted to see if he had directed another movie, just to clarify, and so I was thinking him, and then it came out as I think he did a very good job, referring to the director, but I just realized that we were talking about how Stan killed his father, and I was like... I think Stan did a very good job at killing his dad.
Yay, patricide.
No, I thought that that scene was really good. Very chilling. I guess you could say that it was kind of, he was kind of cold in that scene. It's like, how cold you gotta be to kill your dad, huh?
Well, I mean, how cold was it outside when you opened that window?
Gave his dad the cold shoulder. I'm so funny. Jenna, we should start a stand-up show. Because I'm just that funny.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna have to be sitting down for that one.
Oh, I think that this should have gotten more than a 79 on Rotten Tomatoes. What? I think it should have gotten, like, an 86.
I think it was a little long.
Okay, that is true, but I still think it could have had an 86.
Yeah, I'm surprised it was below. It was in the 70s.
Yeah, they could have shortened it a little bit.
Very well. It's considered a flop. Hmm. It did not make. It didn't even match its budget. It was like half.
Oh yeah, it was half. I don't know. See, I know at the theater that I normally go to, they have like their good theaters and then their old theaters that they never renovated. So they have like the old chairs and everything. And Nightmare Alley came to the theater and was like immediately put in the old theaters where they usually put movies when they're like almost done with their theatrical run. That's usually where they shove them so that they can make room for new movies. And I don't know why. I don't know why it didn't. I mean, I know that it's a little long. They probably could have cut out some of all of his spook show antics with the mayor and then Grendel. Grendel, was it? Was it Grendel? The guy who looked like Steven Spielberg. What was his name? Grendel. Ezra Grendel.
Grendel, yeah. No, Grendel is someone else we know, Ava. Oh. I knew that wasn't right, but I couldn't think of the answer.
Grendel is someone else. Oh, I know who Grendel is now.
Yeah, no, Grendel was the Pixar movie, yeah, actually.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Grendel would make a good Pixar movie.
Yeah, it would. anyways... Yeah, no, it was a little bit dragged on between what he did with the mayor, right? It was the mayor and then Grendel. I feel like that could have been consolidated a little bit more if they wanted to cut the runtime.
Judge.
I'm sorry. I don't know why. I was saying mayor. Some old powerful man, who was married to, Buddy the Elf stepmom, you know.
I know you can't see what I'm doing right now. Just know that my nose is very flat against my face.
Oh. Wait, Jenna, did you get that reference?
I got enough.
Did you? Do you know to whom I'm referring?
In theory, yes.
Did you get around to... actually watching that movie?
When would I have gotten around to it, Ava? It's
Jenna! Jenna, if you're not watching Elf during Christmas time every year, then you're doing it wrong. Okay, you're doing it wrong. You should know who Buddy the Elf stepmom is. Whatever, it's fine. It's fine. I'm not gonna hold it against you because I know.
Oh, sure you're not, Ava.
You're just a subspecies, you know?
I'm just a geek.
I wonder where the term geek came from for that. Like why is that a geek? And then like somebody who likes superheroes is also a geek. Like is that saying that somebody who like is into like comic books and Star Wars or whatever, are you calling them like a chicken biter or something, or is geek just like two different terms, you know?
Maybe geek meant something different back in the day.
Hang on, what is Oxford okay. An unfashionable or socially inept person, a performer at a carnival or a circus whose show consists of bizarre or grotesque acts, or to engage in or discuss computer-related tasks obsessively or with great attention to technical detail. A person often of intellectual bent who is disliked. An enthusiast or expert, especially in a technological field or activity, computer geek. So I guess they're different terms. I don't know where the, like, split came from. I don't know when somebody was like, you know that guy at that carnival who eats the chicken heads? well, you looking at that computer and talking about it made you just like him.
Resemblance, it's so strong.
You know, every time you bring up how much you like Spider-Man, you remind me of this one thing who liked to rip open small birds at a circus. Yeah, that's what you're reminding me of right now. You know what, actually, if I ever call anybody a geek, I'm gonna mean that form of a geek. And I'm just gonna think it to myself. You know? I'm gonna call somebody a geek, and it's gonna mean chicken biter. And they're gonna have no idea.
I really hate how many times you've been saying chicken biter in this episode. Do you understand why? Do you?
No, Jenna, maybe you should explain.
No, I don't think I will. This episode might mysteriously disappear from the internet if I do.
So anyways, Jenna has a dirty mind.
I do not, I'm sorry. Just, you said it too many times.
It's fine. It's fine. We won't judge you for it, Jenna. You know, we're not gonna judge you. It's fine. A lot of people live long and healthy lives with a dirty mind.
I'm gonna quit one day. I'm gonna quit, and I'm never gonna come back, and you're gonna be so sad.
I'm surprised you haven't already, to be honest.
I won't comment.
Truly, I am very surprised. Anyways, back to the chicken biters. Actually, I don't think we need to talk about them anymore. What are the things about this movie? Oh, Jenna, what about the music, the score, soundtrack? What'd you think?
Well, I looked up who did the score because it was not nominated for an Oscar. So I was like, okay, well then I'm not gonna know who did it off the top of my head. And I saw that I think his name was definitely Nathan. It might have been Nathan Johnson. He did another movie. I can't remember. Maybe I can if I think about it long enough. Yeah, his name is Nathan Johnson. And it was fine. It had the vibe. It wasn't the most interesting ever. And I got... Oh, he did Looper. That's what I'm thinking of. And Knives Out. Neither are movies that I necessarily remember for their soundtracks. But I saw on Wikipedia that apparently he replaced Alexandre Desplat as the composer. And that made me really sad.
Oh.
Because that would have been a banger, and I think that score would have been really interesting because I feel like he would have knocked it out of the park, but alas. The score
this
we got
had
was
a really cool...
fine. There were some musical moments that were good, but it didn't necessarily strike me as anything too special.
The soundtrack could have been really cool, and I didn't really notice it. Kind of unfortunate. They had these moments of, like, random gore that I wasn't expecting at the end. But they all looked, like, practical and nice. So, like, nice little makeup shout out there. Which is something that it did not get nominated for. Makeup and hairstyling. I thought that the hair was pretty nice. I thought that if you include SFX makeup, I thought they did a pretty good job. There were some pretty icky moments there at the end, which is nice. Just thought I'd shout that out there. Because also the very beginning, like, the whole beginning part was not at all gory. And then at the end they had all these, like, busted open, like, faces and things. And, like,
yeah, we went off the rails in that climax.
Yeah, they really just went for it. But they did get nominated for costume design, which I thought was pretty cool. I thought their costumes were pretty nice. They also, so their four nominations were Best Picture, Best Cinematography, Best Production Design, and Best Costume Design. I think of all of those that it not, it deserves the production design the most of all four of those.
Yeah, the production design was very good. I think it has some pretty stiff competition with The Tragedy of Macbeth. I watched that this weekend.
Ooh.
That movie, also the production, also very good. And I like them for two very different things. This one might come out on top, though, just because there was so much of it and it was so immersive. And The Tragedy of Macbeth, I feel like also some of it benefited from it being like a black and white movie and the sets were very limited. But at the same time, I had no idea how they were doing the things they were doing. But I think
I still
this
need
movie...
to see that.
Was really impressive in terms of just the multitude of different sets they had and how all of them were really in-depth and really fit the mood and the aesthetic and just really complemented the story well.
What do you watch Tragedy of Macbeth on?
Apple TV Plus.
Like, the one thing that I, like, don't have. I really want to watch that.
I'm really scared because my trial is ending soon and I haven't watched Coda yet. Coda and Wolfwalkers, but I have no time. I have to watch, like, two movies for a project by next Tuesday. And I think my trial ends at the end of the month.
See, the thing is, I used my Apple ID trial. Like, you know how it's attached to your Apple ID? I used my trial, like, last year to watch Cherry. And now I don't have the trial anymore.
Yeah, I had the trial for like a year because I got a new Apple product. So I used it to watch Cherry, proceeded to forget about it for an entire year. And now that the award season happened, I was like, oh man, I gotta use this. But I don't know like which day exactly I got it. So I'm like, I know it was February. I looked when Cherry came out, but I'm a little stressed.
So it's just like a ticking time bomb. Any day like now,
one,
it's just
one of these days. I'm just gonna get bonked over the head with it.
Tomorrow, you're just gonna log on and it's gonna say start your trial or something. Or will it be those one of those things where it just doesn't tell you that your trial's over and it's just gonna start charging you?
I mean, it can take my $8 on my account.
Yeah, I thought the production design was very, very nice. I'm still partial to the West Side Story production design because they had some very, very pretty moments that I really, really liked. But also, I haven't seen Tragedy of Macbeth yet.
It was very literal to Macbeth. Oh.
That's nice, I guess. So it's like it wasn't like they were trying to do a different spin on it. They were just doing Macbeth.
Yeah, I feel like that movie, it was less the content and more the spectacle.
Oh. Interesting. I really need to see that. I like Macbeth. I need to see that. Anyways, yeah. Like I said, the salt shed scene for the Rumble was so cool in West Side Story. And then the devil face in the carnival was so cool in this movie. But then you go back to, like, you had that really, really awesome balcony scene in West Side Story. But then you had the really cool electric chair in this one. And those aren't exactly the equivalents. But there's still like a bunch of other things that go back and forth. I'm like, I don't know which one I liked more. And I thought that they were both very nice to look at.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. West Side Story definitely teleported you back to a New York City block at that time period. But this movie also brought to life the mystery and
I guess, minor terrors of a Carnival Row. So, I don't know.
The other two that are nominated for that are Dune and The Power of the Dog.
You know, I mean, Power of the Dog, I mean, I can see why it was nominated, but I don't think it's as good as West Side Story or Nightmare Alley in terms of production design.
It kind of felt like Dune, you could just... Oh, sorry.
There was a lot of sand.
Yeah. With, well, it was a lot of sand and, like, CGI, so I feel like a lot of their actual, like, look fell on their visual effects team. And then with Power of the Dog, I feel like a lot of that could be done with, like, just location scouting and then dust. You know what I mean? So, like, I mean, it was really good, but do I think it was the best in the group? Not really. Same thing for Dune, just because, you know, just how much of it had to probably be digital, you know?
Yeah, and I mean, I feel like Dune, like, what was there was interesting, but again, I wasn't blown away like I was with other movies.
I have to see Tragedy of Macbeth. I have to see so many... It's so overwhelming, the amount of movies that just exist that I need to watch. I wish I could... Okay, there's this one scene in The Flash when he has, like, all of the important shows and movies and things from, like, the past, like, certain X amount of months that he needs to catch up on. And he, like, made one, like, disc or something of it that's sped up, like, 100 times, and he just speed watches the whole thing and just absorbs all of this, like, content in, like, one sitting. And I'm, like, so jealous. If I could speed watch things, oh my god. Whatever, it's fine.
It'd be all over.
What Ava does if she gets the Flash's powers. Watches every movie that exists.
What do you think I would do?
Read every book that exists. And well, finish your homework. Yeah. Do you even have all your homework written down anywhere? Like,
yes.
Has anybody been keeping track?
Oh, you mean like homework for the channel? No.
Oh yeah, the Ava homework
podcast and write it all down. But then I thought about you should do that. My voice for hours on end, and I decided not to.
Okay, wait. So this is our 60th episode, right? So 60 divided by 24. That's like. And then it's not quite an hour each time. So
it's
essentially
2.5 days.
Yeah, it's around 2.5 days. So do you want to just sit around listening to us for 2.5 days?
No. The answer is no. Sorry, Ava.
Oh. Well, don't worry, because I don't want to either. But, just know that if you don't complete your homework, I'm gonna get mad at you. So, I mean, that's up to you. Just next time I remember about a movie that I told you to watch and then you haven't watched it, I'll be mad at you.
It's funny, because, like, I'll walk through the library and I'll see different movies and I'm like, oh, well, why is this movie standing out to me? And why does that voice sound distinctly like Ava's? I'm sure it's nothing.
Oh my gosh, I'm excited because I'll be able to stream West Side Story next week. And that's something that you should stream on, like, the original. You should stream the original, and then I'll stream the new one, and then we can both, like, be enjoying a West Side Story movie at the same time.
Wow.
I'm sorry, I just thought of it because, in case my sister is listening right now, I told her that she needs to watch it when it's streaming. Because she has to. Like, she's morally obligated to, I told her. So, yeah. I, I, I kind of wish that it came out earlier because then I was going to actually show it to her. But alas, it didn't. So, sibling, if you're listening, it's coming out next week, Wednesday. You should watch it. That's your homework. You are now added to the homework list with Jenna.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, it's everybody's favorite place to be on the homework list.
Wait, didn't your sister join us for one episode?
I think so. Maybe.
Yeah, for Soul, right?
Oh, yeah. It was Soul. Yeah.
Yes, if you want to go listen. She can officially be assigned homework as a member of the WWM Productions family.
Yeah, go listen to Soul and listen to her be stupid the whole time. I don't remember what she said in that episode, so I don't remember how stupid it was, but it was probably stupid. So you can go listen to her be stupid.
So nice, Ava, so nice.
I remember in that episode the dogs betrayed me. That's all I remember. I think that also might have been before I started recording in a blanket fort, like one of our earlier episodes. Like...
Blanket fort.
Yeah, for those of you who don't know, for those of you who didn't watch my vlogging every day until I finished my first pilot series last summer, which you should go and watch, I record every episode in a blanket fort because I think that it makes it sound better. Do I know if it actually makes it sound better? I have no idea, but I just do. So, yeah, every time I'm recording, I have to build a new blanket for it, which is nice.
Yeah, you see, I don't try that hard. I sit at a desk and I use my my earphones, their microphone.
Some reason, I still think that your audio sounds better than mine. Oh, yeah, that was like
a
13th episode.
True. Like, for whatever reason, your audio changed and it got a lot quieter, but I can also only use one earbud to listen. The other earbud just doesn't work.
My audio got quieter, like, over the course of this episode?
No, like, this happened a while ago, and I think I told you.
Oh. That's weird. Oh, well, okay. Is it in a good way? It's quieter?
No, it's fine. Just for whatever reason, I was like, wait a minute, did I, like, lose hearing? But no.
Suddenly, I'm really insecure about my audio.
No, your audio's perfect.
Oh my god, perfect? Really? Wow. That's so nice of you to say. Yeah, but... I think that this movie was really good. What, did we miss anything about this movie? Did we not talk about anything?
No, I think we hit all of it.
You know what, Guillermo del Toro, I'm still waiting for news on Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark number 2. Waiting very patiently for it. I think that it needs to happen. It needs to come out like yesterday. So I don't know why you've been like holding out on me, but I'm waiting and I'm being very patient with you. So yeah, do that, please. Thank you. Do we miss anything else?
No. I don't think so.
Is that it? Was that it? Really? Oh my gosh. So wait, did... So this didn't get any, supporting actress buzz or anything? I feel like it would.
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised that it didn't.
I mean, I know who I think is gonna win and who deserves to win, but like, I would have expected, well, I don't know, I still haven't seen Belfast, so I don't know about Judi Dench. And the same thing with King Richard, which they spelled with a capital I on here, but whatever. I don't know. Do you think any of them would have deserved a nomination? Do you think Kate Blanchett? Because I feel like if anybody would have gotten it, it would have been her.
I'm thinking of also the performances that were nominated. I'm looking at them right now. And I mean, I haven't seen all of them. But I'd say... I don't know. I think it was comparable to, say, like, Kirsten Dunst's performance.
Yeah, I think so. I would agree with that. I think that Kirsten Dunst's was better. I feel like Kate Blanchett's portrayal of the character was very straightforward, you know?
Yes.
I feel like it's kind of just what would be expected of the character and whatever. I don't know.
I think that they might kind of be like what we've talked about in other movies, where the interesting parts of that character comes not necessarily from the portrayal, but from the writing.
Yeah, exactly. But this didn't get any attention for its writing either. I don't know if I agree with that or not. I would have to think about it a little bit more. Probably watch it again, which I don't have time for. There's so many movies that I have to watch. Oh my god, no, we just passed February 11th, which is like rom-com release day or romantic drama release day of the year, I guess, because it's the Friday of Valentine's Day. And the sheer number of things that came out that day that I need to watch. The only one that I actually did watch so far was The In-Between. Did I bring that up last time we recorded?
I don't think so.
Okay, well, yeah, so every year, it seems, for the past 2 years, they release some sort of drama, teen drama, with, like, a romance element that also has, like, some weird supernatural element to it that's starring Kyle Allen, and both times I've really liked them. It was this one, which was The In-Between, and then last year's was The Map of Tiny Perfect Things. I like The Map of Tiny Perfect Things better, but... anyways, yeah, Kyle Allen teen romance dramas are greater than Noah Centineo teen romance dramas. And you can quote me on that. I much prefer them, and I want this streak to continue. I want one of these every year. On February 11th, on the dot, please. Thank you. I will subscribe to that subscription. Oh, and then there was another one that came out that I didn't get to watch yet, but I want to, because it's got Gina Rodriguez, star of Jane the Virgin, in it, and it looks kind of fun. I think there's a bunch of others that I just haven't gotten around to, you know?
Yes, Ava, I do know.
It's quite overwhelming.
Yes, it is.
Was that whole, like, spiel of mine overwhelming?
No, but the amount of homework, I'm sure, is metaphorically piling up somewhere for me, is.
Well, okay. Have you not seen The Map of Tiny Perfect Things?
If I don't say anything, will she think I've lost connection?
Anyways, yeah, that's homework. That I'll give you a little pass on The In-Between for now. Because she is so N-log the whole time, but also he's N-log. So it's like they can have their little N-log babies if they want to, you know what I mean? Like, it's not hurting anybody, their N-logness. Because, like, you can't really be a manic pixie dream girl. What?
They're made for each other.
Yeah, you can't really be a manic pixie dream girl if you're with a manic pixie dream guy. You know what I mean? But anyways, yeah. So, Tiny Perfect Things was my favorite so far. Or The Map of Tiny Perfect Things. Very good movie. Recommend it. And yeah, I don't think I have any other words to say right now.
I certainly don't.
Okay, well, thank you for listening. If you made it this far, you are a trooper. Like, comment, subscribe if you're on YouTube. It really helps out the channel. It'll make sure that you don't miss any of our other content. If you're on another platform, you can probably follow us wherever you are. If you're on YouTube, but you hate YouTube for some reason, all of our other platforms are in the description, along with our social media, if you want to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, or TikTok. If you're not on YouTube and you just love YouTube and you hate whatever you're on, you can come subscribe over here. It's pretty great. It's a pretty fun time. We post a new episode of the podcast every Friday. So yeah, subscribe. Make sure you don't miss that. You can even press the bell icon. I don't know if it does anything, but you can press it if you want to. And yeah, so do all those fun things. And that's it. Yeah. We'll see. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you guys next week. Jenna, anything to add?
Got distracted for a minute while we were recording this because no one told me this, but apparently there is a 500 plus pound bear named Hank the Tank wandering around the Lake Tahoe area. And oh my god, anyway, can't believe no one told me about this. Ba-boom.
Hank the Tank. Oh my god. He's so cute.
He's so big.
Okay. Okay, bye.